All right, we're going to continue our series on Roman through Romans, and we've been doing this. This is the 11th installment, so I appreciate you hanging in there with me. I've really enjoyed this. Some of the things that God's revealed to us through this study and this series, as I always mentioned, Paul has went through many things in his life, and this was something that he shared, like I said, with the church that he didn't plant, but yet it was some things that we see that probably he did share with his own churches that he started, and how important that is. So today we're going to look at the idea of somewhat about relationships. Relationships. Relationships are good most of the time, but sometimes relationships can be kind of messy, can't they? Everything that's involved in a relationship, the give and take, or some call it the tug of war, right? That can happen in a relationship. And so we need to learn, I guess, somewhat how we need to interact with others, because it's very important that we do that, because, you know, we are created to be relational people to some degree. And so we need to be aware, I guess, of what we're doing in life and just how we're doing it. You know, sometimes, I don't know about myself, I know in my marriage, sometimes I was totally unaware of I wasn't maybe doing things quite the right way, you know what I'm saying, that my wife could really connect with. You know, I just did it how I understood it, and, you know, message sent, message was not received, because I just wasn't maybe speaking the same language. Any men out there with me today? Come on now, somebody. All right. It happens, and women feel the same way. Why don't us men just get it? So, but anyway, we find out, you know, in life, as you get a little bit older, is the fact that, you know, what we do together is far greater than we can ever do by ourselves. You know, so finding the place or the path that we can go on where we can connect with other people, especially in a setting like this of like precious faith, how important it is to get hooked up and then to be able to build God's kingdom together and to see God glorified. Amen? All right, we're going to look at a scripture starting off here, found in Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Romans 12, verse 9, and it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, and cling to what is good." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come today, Lord. We just thank you. We just yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you to everything that we communicate today, Lord. We just pray that your anointing is here, Lord, just to pull down strongholds, to break any bondages or barriers that we have set up in our life, Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for the gift of the Spirit to be in operation. Lord, I yield to the gift you put in me, and I use it for your glory. I know we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. So, as we start into this, it's talking about the idea of how important love is. And we've looked at love a couple times during this series, and it talks about, to me, when I see this, it's keep it real love. Kind of keep it real love. You know, not kumbaya love. Anybody know what kumbaya love is, right? You know, and that's really, there's three Greek words that we always went into. We got phalo, eros, and agape. Those are the three words primarily used in the Greek language in the New Testament to be able to explain the word love. And so, in our English, we just have the word love. Now, granted, we can add other things to it, but for the most part, in the Greek, so when we look at that, we can understand what they're talking about. So kumbaya love is phileo love, or brotherly love. You know, that's the kind of love that we should have with each and every person here. We should have that fellowship love, and as well as, you know, other believers around the world. And then we want to be careful about the next one, what I call hubba hubba love. You know what I'm saying? That's eros love. That's romantic love. We don't share that with everybody. You know what I mean? You use that kind of love in a certain situation, you know, especially between a husband or a wife, and that kind of love. And then this word that's talking about here, when it, in the Greek here, let love be without hypocrisy, it's the last one. It's the agape love, which we always know as the God kind of love. And it's, I love you no matter what love. And that's the kind of love that we need to have, you know, towards each and every person. I'm going to love you no matter what. It don't matter what you can say to me. It doesn't matter what you do to me. I choose to love you. And I believe with all my heart that if we as Christians exhibited that kind of love, I think the world would be in a better place. I think it'd be in a better place. I don't believe we would have the things going on that we see, because what happens is that it also says, as well as having this kind of love, is that we're supposed to abhor or fervently hate evil. There's so much evil in the world, isn't there? So many things going on that are disruptive and trying to bring division and pull people down. And, you know, we as Christians need to be aware of that, because also we need to be, I guess, repulsed by it. Have you ever been repulsed about something? Oh, that's just disgusting. And see, that's what evil is. Because you know what? If you and I get hooked up in evil, it's like a snare. You know, like them little traps, you know, you see somebody, you put a little string out on the ground with a noose and you tie it to a little sapling tree, and then a little rabbit gets in it and you catch it, right? That's a snare. And when you and I get snared in evil, it drags us down spiritually. Because what it does, it affects us on the inside. Now, I'm not saying that we love evil. That's not, we're going to look at that a little bit later here. But the idea is that we cannot get connected in the sense where we allow them evil feelings to come into our life about other people. Because when they do, it's going to affect us spiritually. I'll be honest with you, it is very hard, if not impossible, to minister the life and the love of God to somebody that you have ill feelings for. You know, we always kid around about this, and it's not really kidding, it's a truth, is the fact that if you have a problem with somebody, pray that God blesses them. How many think that's hard to do? I mean, maybe they've wronged you. Maybe they have something against you. But then you, on the other hand, just say, Lord, just bless them in the name of Jesus. And that's the last prayer you want to pray. But when we do that, it frees us up on the inside. I always tell the story, my wife, you know, she teaches kids, and she's an awesome children's teacher. And, you know, every now and then, there's a kid comes through the system, you know what I mean? Through the system. And the kid sometimes is very cantankerous, very hard to get along with, causes problems. Just doesn't get along and won't listen and speaks up in class and all this kid. And we had this kid that came through the system like that. And my wife, you know, just irritated her. She don't get irritated very easy, other than me. I can irritate her. I know her buttons. But, you know, far as kids, she just loves, 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 loves. You know, but this kid irritated her. And finally, after a while, she just decided, I'm going to start praying for that kid. And she did. And God gave her a love for that kid. Kid didn't change, for the most part, you know, and they're not even in the church anymore. But, you know, they was here only for a short time. But it turned her attitude around. She started praying for that kid that was very irritating, and then God gave her a love. A genuine love of God. And that's the agape kind of love that you and I need to have. And it's possible. All these things are possible. God puts this stuff in the Bible not just to take up space, but he wants us to learn from these things. And it only works if we practice it, just like anything else. If you want to be good at something, you got to practice it, correct? So we need to hop in and track it. And then it talks about, you know, cling to what is good. That word cling there is talking about be glued to it. You know, when you glue something together, that's how you and I need to get. We need to be glued to good, not let something come in there and break us apart. You know, we need to get some good glue. I don't know what your favorite glue is. There's Gorilla Glue out now. That's pretty good stuff, isn't it? You ever tried that Gorilla Glue on some stuff? This is not a paid advertisement, but, you know, I've tried that on a few things, and it seems to really hold good. You can't really break it apart. Well, you could if you really wanted to, but, you know, that is good glue. So there's some glue out there, and that's the kind of love that we need to cling to that. So no matter what comes in your life, I'm holding on to good. I'm holding on to love. I'm not letting nobody take that away from me. Oh, yes, somebody may speak bad about me. Somebody may do something evil about me, but I'm going to love. I'm going to hold on to this love. I'm glued to love. You're not going to pry me away from that. And see, that's the kind of mentality that God is talking about here. Because what we're looking at now in this series of Romans is Romans chapter 12, which we looked at last week, maybe a week or so ago. I know last week went a little long. I apologize, but I wanted to get through the seven gifts. How many recognized who they were in those seven gifts? A few people come up and told me who they were. Yeah, anyway, it's good to locate yourself. But yet, Romans 12 and 13, and we probably won't get to quite the 13 today, but it talks about four different kinds of relationships in this part. You know, first, last week we looked at our relationship with God. You know, how we're supposed to make our body a living sacrifice, right? Because sacrifices are supposed to die. But that's just talking about dying to ourselves. You know, we don't die technically, but we die to self. You know, that's what God was talking about there. And now we're looking at today, you know, primarily is our relationship with other believers. How do we get along? How do we interact? What do we do with other believers? You know, and with that, you know, there comes different types of personalities, right? You know, you got your introverts and your extroverts. You know, you got different kinds of ways that they look at life. And so how do we interrelate with each other? How do we get along with each other? How do we connect with each other? Because with connection comes strength, right? Have you ever played Red Rover? Remember that old game? We kind of outlawed it here at the church after the last incident there a couple of years ago. I did it with the youth, and it didn't go well. You know, got a couple kids out there holding on, then this big kid come running through there, and they just plowed everybody down. So I made a rule that we can't do Red Rover no more. Everybody knows what Red Rover is, right? Or is that too old a game for some of you guys, you know, where you hold hands and then you try to break through, and if you break through, you get to take them with you. But yeah, that was too dangerous. But, you know, that idea of connecting with other believers, holding hands and not letting go. Then it tells us about, we're going to look at our relationship with our enemies. How do we get along with enemies? Because we all probably have some enemies. We know the devil's our enemy, right? We'll never make friends with the devil. Don't even think that's possible. The devil can never get saved. I know that bothers some people, but no, there's no hope for him or the fallen demons. Their fate is sealed. So, and then the last one, which is going to be hard to go through it, at least it's very painful for me, is our relationship with authority. And that's in the first several verses of Romans 13. So if we probably won't get to it today, just guessing, but read that for yourself and see what you think about it. How do we submit to authority? And how does that work in our life? You know, are we the type of person that can do that and have that kind of relationship? So the right kind of relationships help us with the right kind of living. So who you hang around with, my friends, are very important. I'm not saying kick your pagan friends to the curb, your unsaved friends to the curb, but I'm saying is the fact that until you get strong enough to stand on your own, you need to limit some of the relationships that you're involved with until you can build up your most holy faith. Amen? Because what's going to happen is going to drag you down. The greatest thing that I did was when I went to the church where I ended up getting saved is that God placed me in a position where I had some good friends that were really sold out for God, and they just built me up. They didn't talk about going out and doing something evil. They didn't talk about, you know, all that other stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong, they weren't perfect. That's not what I'm saying. We're not seeking perfection here. We're seeking excellence. Okay, there's a difference. But, you know, the idea of finding some people, and that's why we really try to promote getting involved with a small group. You know, anybody that's been through a trial or a tribulation, something going on in your life, to me, it's great to having other strong Christian believers in your life that can put their arms around you and give you a hug if you need it, or to pray for you, or to call and check on you if you need it, or do something for you. Amen? I'm not preaching to myself just here, right? So we need to see that as being a very vital ingredient in our life to find success in the kingdom of God. Because that's really what it's all about. So it's about our connections, about the connections that we have in life. Now, I remember when I first started out trying to become a Christian because I went to church a year before I got saved, and I was dabbling in Christianity, and I was staying in the world, and you know, I ran around with heathen, you know, and then I go to church on Sunday, and it just was two different worlds, man. It was conflicting thoughts and all this. So finally I came to the place in my life where I decided I needed Jesus more than I needed this other stuff. And then when I made that decision, I chose to get involved. And that saved me. It helped me. Because then I wasn't in this alone. I was a baby Christian. And I found people that was a little farther along in their journey with God than I was. And they put their arm around me. And they helped me. And they encouraged me. And that is something that is very important in our life that we do, because, you know, granted, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ, and I do appreciate everybody listening today. Nobody tuning out yet. It's still early in the message, so I hope I still got you hooked. But, you know, there's still things that I cannot do from here that you need in your life. And that is good, strong Christian relationships. I mean, that's why we do kind of the meet and greet here. I mean, it is kind of a little different. You know, some people are more introverted. Maybe, you know, it's a little harder when people come up. And to be honest, a lot of our extroverts were gone today, you know, or you really would have been greeted big time. You know what I'm saying? They're hugging you and shaking on your hand and all this stuff, you know. So that was, they were, some of those guys are gone today. So you, the rest of us, we're just kind of laid back a little bit more. But, you know, we need that. That's why we do that. We want to place that little connection. And hopefully you'll build some relationships with each other and make some friends and things like that and be able to grow and become strong. And so how important that is. So the right kind of relationship is what we need. Then it goes down into Romans 12, verse 10. It says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That's phileo love, like Philadelphia. That's the city of brotherly love, right? That's where they get that word from. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Okay, here's some things that we need to understand. You know, like I said, that brotherly love is phileo love. You know, we need to love other believers like their family. The family members you like. Okay, let me clarify that a little bit, right? The ones you get along with. Okay, I better, because some family members, they don't get along, so, you know, we don't want to do that one. No, but you want to do it like the family members get along. And so what it is that we need to think connection, not competition. Now think about this. How it works spiritually is that we're not in competition with each other. Like who can pray the best, or who can, you know, do whatever the best, who can clap the best. I'm out. I've tapped out on that one, right? You know, I don't have rhythm, so I'm beat on that already. But it's not about competition. It's about building each other up and complimenting each other. And you're going to find out, people, this is how spiritual law works. What you do for somebody else, God will do for you. You build somebody else up, God's going to bring somebody in your life to build you up. This is law of sowing and reaping. That's just how it works. So when we build each other up, we become stronger. See, it's we. It's not me. It's we. And we build each other up. We compliment other people. I'm not talking flattery. Flattery's different. Flattery usually has a hook on the other end, right? Flattery usually wants something. That's not what we're doing. We don't want something. We just want to have the attitude that we want to build each other up and make each other better, because the stronger we get, the better we are. I have very simple thinking about that. We build each other up, we make each other better. And as we do that, then we're going to start to see God really start to move. And so connection helps us to overcome rejection. Many of us deal with a spirit of rejection. Those kind of things come in our life. You know, we have problems where we maybe have felt like an outcast, or we feel like we don't fit into a certain area, kind of like a dog at a new bowl, right? Don't know if you're going to eat or not. You know, it's just kind of different for you. But see, when we choose to do that connection, it overcomes those things, because it's the devil that's trying to keep us separated. And then it talks about the idea of treating each other with honor and how important it is to have honor. And it's talking about giving preference or favor to each other. And so as we show favor and honor each other. So this mindset is what we're developing, is the idea of being able to be a builder of people as we give preference to one another. And so making each other better. Now, to me, honor and loyalty are two things that's missing in our culture today. Most of that is gone. That's not totally gone, but the idea of being loyal to different things as well as honoring other people. Because usually, given kind of the mindset of what we're exposed to all the time, it's, you know, look out for number one or look out for self, correct? You know, that's the way the world thinks. You know, the world cuts people down so that you can make yourself look better. But see, this is talking about something totally different. You know, talks about, you know, being able to bring honor and loyalty to each other. And here's going to tell us how to do this, okay? Romans 12, 11 to 15. It says, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Okay, like I said, this is some practical tips. We're going to look at these just briefly. It says, be diligent and fervent. So, means that we have to try. You're going to have to try this. You're going to have to apply yourself to it. That means you're going to have to be mindful. A word that they use today all the time, the younger generation, is you got to be intentional. You know what I'm saying by that? You have to be intentional in this, that you want to participate in this, to be able to see this kind of fellowship work. And then that means it's going to take some work and working at it. So then it goes on into the idea of serving the Lord. Now, how this works and how we can justify, because sometimes we have to justify things. We have to make sure it works in our mind. Did you know that when you're serving somebody who's a Christian, it's as you're doing it unto the Lord? Okay? That makes it easier. It should. So if you do it with that mindset, I'm doing this because I'm doing it as unto Jesus. And then is, Jesus is glorified, and that makes it a lot easier to understand for us, I hope. It talks about the idea of rejoicing and persevering, okay? How many love the word persevere? Have you ever had to persevere through something? I mean, things get really hard sometimes in life. Sometimes just the way things happen, and usually how it works is the enemy will leave us alone for a little bit, and then all of a sudden, boom, 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 hits us from all different sides, right? One of the kids will get sick, the car will get a flat tire, da-da-da-da, all these different things hit us all at once. Well, then you have to persevere, but what it says here is kind of the way that we persevere is we've got to walk in joy. That's why James talks about, count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, right? Now, that's hard to do. Now, joy is different than happiness. Happiness is more of a feeling. Joy is something that comes from the Lord because the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. So there's a certain strength that comes from joy that helps us to be an overcomer and to be able to get through some of those trials. And you just have to ask God to help you through that. That God, give me that. And then talks about prayer. Strong prayer life. How important that is. And so how long you pray is between you and God. You know, it's best not to maybe put a clock on it. But I think we all probably would agree that we need to pray. We need to pray and have a strong prayer life. Because what happens is the God connection gives us both strength and perspective. Okay. Why do we need that? Well, we know we need strength. That's a no-brainer, correct? And when you build up your most holy faith, you know, it says praying in the Spirit in Jude 20, and then idea of how we get stronger when we pray. Sometimes we get we feel spiritually weak. You know, sometimes that happens because we haven't been in the Word, but also because sometimes we just don't take the time to pray a little bit and to spend time with God and get quiet. Get quiet before God. And to let him minister to us. You know, so prayer is not just asking for things. It's okay to ask. We have a big daddy. He has a big checkbook. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's okay. But our relationship needs to be more than that. I don't know how about you, but I have three kids. And what blesses me, I mean, I don't mind when they ask me for stuff, but I really enjoy it when they just want to spend time with me. That blesses me. When they just want to spend a little time with Dad. And so that's how we need to look at prayer, because it gives us that God connection, that we're with Him and we're spending time with Him. So it's gonna build us up and give us strength, but it's also gonna give us a different kind of perspective, because I don't know about you, but sometimes it's easy to look at things wrong, especially if you're out of prayer. You get kind of worldly in our thinking, can't we? We can look at things in the natural. And, you know, God says that my ways are not your ways, right? So it's beneficial for us if we can get to the place where we can look at things the way God sees them. And that doesn't happen just very easily. It's going to have to happen by growth, but also spending time with God and starting to see His perspective. Talks about the idea of being generous with others. Be a giver. There's so many people that are givers. I mean, it's just amazing just how generous people is. And, you know, that's why Jesus said it's better to give than receive, you know. But you got to receive. Don't get me wrong. Some people have a hard time receiving. You have to receive. But yet, you know, that idea of generosity is very contagious, and it's very healthy for us to have. Then it talks about the idea in that passage, I know it's a longer passage, is the idea of practicing hospitality, being hospitable to other people, you know, making them feel welcome and different things like that. Then it gets a little harder. It says, bless those that persecute you and do not speak evil of them. And what happens then is that it disarms them. They don't know how to handle you. They're looking for an argument. They're looking for, you know, getting into it with somebody, and everybody, maybe a yelling match or, you know, stuff like that, trash talking. But instead of doing that, you just decide to bless them and don't speak evil of them. Just speak good things. And it just takes all the weapons away from them. How do they handle something like that? It's hard to attack somebody that's nice to you. So we need to do that and be a disarmer. And then talks about the idea of being a good brother or sister. And we need to do that. Need to be sensitive to the Spirit in this, in my opinion. It means to rejoice with others as good fortune. When somebody has a blessing, don't try to one-up them. Somebody gets a new job, let them talk about it. Or somebody gets a new something or whatever, something great happens in their life, just let them have a little fun with it and be excited for them. You don't have to counter and say, well, God did, you know, somebody says, well, God did this for me, that's so awesome. And they say, well, yeah, well, God did this for me, and it's so much bigger, you know. Don't do that. Just let them have it. You know what I'm saying? Rejoice with them. Be happy with them. Then it goes on to say, as well as rejoicing with their good fortune, is that when they're going through a hard time, be able to grieve with them. Grieve with them. Sometimes there's no words, isn't there? There's no words that we can say that maybe is going to make them feel better. But it's just the fact that we're there. Just the fact that we maybe give them a hug. And if there's anything you need, you let me know. I know what you're going through. It's a hard time. And just be there for them. That's what being a good brother or sister in the Lord is all about. And that's what Paul's talking about here when he's talking to this church in Rome. And he's wanting to help them just in the practical things of life, because sometimes we forget, we get so busy, we're chasing all these deals and, you know, the old idea of spinning plates, trying to keep all the plates going. And we just try, we get so busy, it's hard to, because we're so focused on us that we forget about the other people that's all around us. Now, that's how we deal with brothers and sisters a little bit. And it did talk about enemies there a little bit. But now, we're going to go back in a little bit more about how to deal with enemies. In Romans 12, verse 17 to verse 19. It says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. And here's a hard one. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge. Beloved, leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So, this is how we interact with some people who are maybe evil. Talks about so far as it depends on you. You know, we can only be responsible for our own attitude, not the attitude of others. Have we learned that yet? Many times we try to change other people's attitudes. Very difficult. But we can change our attitude. That's the one that we're responsible for to God. You know, and if our attitude is right, then it's going to help in dealing, you know, with other people, and hopefully they'll see, you know, that there's a better way. Because we can only control our actions and reactions, and to believe me, reactions are harder. Sometimes we can go into a situation and knowing what we're going to say, and everything is going good, but then all of a sudden, boom, something hits really big. And then it's our reaction. You know, sometimes we can act right, but our reaction, sometimes we can get it wrong. Right? We can react wrongly. So that's something that's an internal thing that we need to work on. So we usually, when we react wrong to something, that means we usually have an owie on the inside in that area. You know what I mean by that? That means we have a part of our soul that's been hurt by somebody or something. And it doesn't hurt all the time. It only hurts when somebody touches it. Kind of like a splinter. Well, you can have a splinter in your finger, and you may not even know it's there. So you touch it or somebody touches it. Then all of a sudden, ooh, that hurt. Well, it's kind of like that. When we're dealing with people, you know, we can, you know, be in a situation, everything's fine, but all of a sudden they may word something a certain way and say it, or maybe do something with a certain action, and it's going to flash us back to an old memory that we have of some painful incident in our life, and boom, the fur goes to flying, right? Well, those things happen. Don't beat yourself up. Number one, be aware of it. Number two, repent. Ask the blood of Jesus to forgive you. Maybe the other person if you really went after it. But mostly, you need to self-evaluate and get into the position of trying to understand, why did I react that way? There's some pain that I need to let go of right now. And if you do that, you'll be healed, and that thing will never bother you again. Once you take the splinter out, the pain's gone, right? Then you can touch your finger. Believe me, I know about splinters in life. I had a lot of splinters in my fingers. So as soon as you take that splinter out, don't hurt no more. And it's like that with that little pain on the inside of our soul on how to be free from that. And it'll get us to a better place. So the depth of our walk with the Lord is better measured by our reactions and not just our actions. So that can kind of tell us really how deep we are with God. So never pay back evil, or what I like to say is don't sink to their level. You know, when they go low, go high. Don't sink to their level. I know you want to. We all want to, don't we? Our flesh really wants to do that because it feels good to our flesh or our old nature. We don't like to forgive. We don't like to, you know, humble ourselves and things like this. But when we do that, we just, you know, and we don't pray for judgment from God. That's not what I'm going with this. You know, God, you get them. No. But it just, leave it over to God to deal with it. God, you deal with that person for me, okay? you know, I want this relationship fixed, you know, whatever. So another thing about that owie, it kind of goes into it a little bit more, idea of never hold on to resentment. It'll eat us alive. And we end up living for payback instead of for the Lord. You know, you live for payback. I mean, this is kind of a sports analogy. You know, the kids, when they played soccer and different things, if some kid come up and took them out, you know what I mean? Maybe a slide tackle, maybe it was clean, maybe it was dirty, and just boom, just wiped them out. Well, then they don't play the rest of the game to try to score. What do? They play the rest of the game, I'm going to get that person back. And they don't care where the ball's going. They just want to take that kid out and teach him a lesson. See, that's what it's like in life. If somebody hurts us or whatever, and then we're just living to try to get him back somehow. I know it's going to get my time. I'm going to get my shot at it. I'm going to pay this person back for what they did to me because it's only fair. But see, life ain't fair. But see, if we have that resentment in our life and we're living for payback, then we're going to miss out on opportunities and blessings that God has for our life. Don't we think that God can give us much more than that person took away from us? I believe so. God can give us so much more. So much more. But as we allow him to do so. And so I always like to say, think the best and forget the rest. Okay, last passage I want to look at here is Romans 12:21. Goes into a little more about this. It says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay, a little bit more about it. Not tit for tat, but doing good instead of that, right? That's how we do it. We just don't get into that. You know we live in that evil world, but we can't let us consume us. And to me, good is always the answer to evil. And I'll tell you what, this is not Christianity 101, people. This is more than the basics. This is something that we have to grow into, the things that I talked about today. These interpersonal relationships and being able to deal with these things, this is something that we, like I said, we just need to desire to grow and to allow these relationships to get stronger and that we can be a builder. I'll tell you what, God is looking for builders. He's looking for builders. You know, people that can build up other people in the body of Christ. If you're that kind of person, God's going to use you. And I'll tell you what, one of the best feelings you're going to have after getting saved is when God starts to use you. When God starts to use you and you start to make it a difference in other people's lives, it's going to bring you such a feeling of joy and fulfillment in your life. It just surpasses all other feelings that we can ever have. And that's what I want for each and every person today. Let's pray.